We are continuing our studies in the Sermon on the Mount, and tonight we come to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, and to a new section of this great sermon of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 5, 6 and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount, and we've been going through it together. We've come tonight to Matthew chapter 6, commencing at verse 19. First of all, I want to read from verse 19 to verse 24. This is what Jesus says. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So that's a little section as far as I divide up my Bible in my mind, at any rate, where three questions are being considered. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ is challenging us. Where is your heart directed? In other words, what do you love the most? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verses 19 to 21. Where is your heart directed? What do you love the most? And then the second question is, where is your mind directed? That's that very strange verse about the light of the body and being single and all that sort of thing. We'll come on to that another week. Where is your mind directed? In other words, what do you think about most? And then the third question that he challenges us on is, where is your will directed? Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, and so on. We'll come on to that another week. In other words, whom do you serve the most? Who comes first? Now, there are these questions that we are to consider. We're just going to do the first one this evening about our hearts and what we love the most. The Lord Jesus is contrasting in these passages. First of all, heavenly treasure and earthly treasure. Secondly, he's contrasting darkness with light. And then thirdly, mammon and God, money or God, or whatever conclusion we come to he means by mammon. It seems to me that this is primarily a challenge to his disciples, to those who belong to him, to those who call themselves Christians. Because we know the world around us, and people around us for the most part, do set their affections upon earthly treasure. They are concerned, most of all, to lay up treasure upon earth, have more money in the bank, to get a pay rise and so on. That's what they set their affections upon. And their minds are directed not towards spiritual things and thinking about godly things, but about earthly and material things. Their will is captive, not to God's will and doing God's will, but to the world and to the devil and to mammon. So I think the Lord Jesus is really challenging his own people here, primarily. You remember at the beginning of that Sermon on the Mount, we read, seeing the multitudes, what did he do? He went up into a mountain, took his disciples on one side. When he was set, he began to teach them and to challenge those who belonged to him. Now there were many others who came to listen, and so there was a word for them. And if there's any unbeliever here tonight, good that you should know what is involved in being a Christian, what the Lord Jesus expects of those who put their trust in him and follow him. that you might count the cost before you say, Jesus is Lord. And he's saying, where is your heart directed? What do you love the most? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I once heard an Austrian pastor preaching, and he was describing an incident that happened to him when he was walking in the streets of Vienna. One day, he was walking with another pastor, a pastor who came from the country, up in the mountains. And they were walking along a main road, one of the busiest streets, the clanging trams and traffic and the hooting of cars and crowds of jostling people, shopping and so on, when all of a sudden, this other pastor, his colleague, stopped and said, "Shh, listen." Well, he stopped and he said, "Well, what am I listening for?" He said, "A cricket. Listen, a cricket." He said, "A cricket. You can hear a cricket in this mad noise in the street." He said, "Yes, it's across the road. Come on." So they made their way across the traffic and across the road to the other side. And sure enough, he said, there was a house with a window box. And this other pastor began to look carefully amongst the leaves, and sure enough, there all of a sudden he spotted him. He said, "There he is." And there was a little cricket rubbing his back legs together for all he was worth, or whatever they do to make that noise. And this city-dwelling pastor was absolutely fascinated. And he said, "You could hear that noise, with all this clanging trams in traffic." I'm astonished. "Well," he said, "I suppose it's because I love the countryside and I love the sounds of the countryside. And I could detect it. I picked it up." He said, "You see, what you love, you hear." And he said, the other city-dwelling pastor who I was listening to, who told the story, said, "Well, all these people and thousands passing, they've never heard that." So the country pastor said, "Oh, but they'd hear what they wanted to hear in spite of the trams. You listen." And he took a coin out of his pocket, and he just threw it on the floor. And it went tinkle, tinkle. And everybody stopped and looked around. And he said, "You see, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You can hear what you want to hear, what you're listening out for, what you're really fond of. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Where do you set your affections? What are you really interested in? What are you wanting to build up as treasure and gather together more than anything else in the world? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he tells us two things. First of all, what not to do with regard to treasure. Verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." And then he tells us in verse 20, what to do with regard to treasure, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So we must consider this very carefully together. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. And the original has the idea of gathering together treasure and hoarding it. And the Lord Jesus says we're not to do that. "Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Now, we must ask ourselves, first of all, does this mean that no Christian should ever have anything in the bank, or should never save any money, or should never have any possessions, or anything of that kind? Any earthly treasure whatsoever, should he never have anything like that? Is a rich man automatically not a Christian, because if he's rich he can't be? Is that what Jesus is saying? Well, I think we should be careful before we come to that conclusion. We should always compare scripture with scripture and get a right balance on all these things. For example, we know that in the course of the history of God's church, in Bible times as well as subsequently, God has sometimes shown his favour and his blessing upon a man by prospering him in business. And that has been a mark and a sign of God's blessing and favour. Abraham, for example, grew very rich and had many goods, and yet he was a friend of God and a man of great faith. Not a perfect man, nevertheless a man of great faith. David became very rich, and that was an indication of God's blessing upon him. Didn't worship his riches, but nevertheless he wasn't a poor man as far as this world's goods was concerned. Job had wealth, and then it was taken away from him, if you know the story, but then God increased it many times over, and he was very rich in this world's goods, and it was a sign of God's blessing upon him. Furthermore, in the book of Proverbs, we are exhorted to go to the ant and consider her ways and be wise and see how she gathers and stores things up ready for a time of need and so on. Furthermore, in the New Testament, we read parents should make provision for their children, and the term which is used is the idea of laying up for provision for their children. In the book of Timothy we read, if any man provide not for his own relatives, especially his own family, he has disowned the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labour, working with his hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. We could go on with verse after verse and passage after passage and example after example that suggests that industry and doing well is often, with a Christian, can be a sign not of him doing wrong, but of God's favour upon him, and he is to be a good steward of the things that God has given to him. Now, what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is that those who belong to him should not hoard earthly treasure and set their affections upon it and place their heart upon it. So that's what they believe in and want and care for and think about more than anything else in the world. No, he says, you shouldn't do that. Like that rich young ruler, you see. Jesus just put his finger upon it with that man. He had many possessions. The one that we read about. And he could say that he kept this law and kept that law and kept the other law, but Jesus said, all right then, well, sell everything you have, give the money away to the poor and come and follow me. And he went away sorrowful. And by the way, that's a very interesting story when it comes to evangelism. Jesus didn't say, oh well, it doesn't matter about that, just sign on the dotted line and that's another one chalked up. No, he challenged him to what real discipleship involved. You can't worship anything else if you're going to worship me. And he knew that he worshipped his riches. The Lord Jesus draws our attention to the fact that these things decay and vanish away, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Moth eat clothes. You see, probably in those days, a man's riches was often to be found in his wardrobe, just as it is with some people today. People consider themselves rich by how many suits they have or how many dresses they have. And Jesus says, well, moths will eat those things through and destroy them, and they'll go. And rust, the word in it's eating, will eat away at things that you possess. And it will vanish away. It may have been he was thinking of grain stored in barns and the vermin eating it, or he may have been thinking of the rust of metal. Decays. And thieves break through and steal. Some people say that in those days, if they had any money, they would put it in a jar and put it in the innermost room of the house, right in the very center. But you see, the walls of the house were made of mud, and sometimes thieves would break through and they would steal it, and then it would be gone. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing attention to the impermanence of all these things. And I think it's just the same today, although we may live in houses where it's a bit more difficult for thieves to break through and steal, and where we may have preserved our clothes with the invention of mothballs or something similar. Nevertheless, doesn't it remain true? These things are decaying and getting less and less in value. I was reading somebody's writing in a Christmas letter of a missionary society the other day, and he said the more money people seem to get, the less value it seems to have. And the more gadgets that people have in their homes in order to make life easier, the more complex life seems to be. And the less tranquil they seem to be, and the more tranquilizers they seem to take. The more education that people have and the more money that's spent upon it, for some reason or other, the less cultured society seems to become. The more leisure that seems to be given to people, the less enjoyment they seem to get out of it. We even talk these days about education for leisure. The prophet Haggai spoke of people putting their money into a bag full of holes. That's certainly true today. There's almost nothing you can invest your money in, but inflation doesn't eat away at it faster and faster. And so the Lord Jesus says, you're foolish if you lay up treasures upon earth, where moth, rust, thieves break through and take it away and inflation reduces its value. No, he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where nothing can take it away or diminish its value. Now, how can you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and how can I? Well, first of all, I would say, make sure that your name is written in heaven. You know, there's a book in heaven, the Bible says. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And the first thing that we ought to make sure is that our names are written in that book. That's the first treasure. Because the only people who are going to heaven are people whose names are written in that book. In the old days, they used to shut the city gates at a certain time. If anyone came to the gates after the gates were closed, he was only allowed in if he was a citizen and if his name was on the roll. And the Bible says there's going to come a day when we can only be allowed into the city of God and into heaven if our names are written upon the roll. Oh, make sure your name is written in God's book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you're not sure, then don't rest until you are sure. Because that's the first treasure, is to have a place in heaven, to even know that you're going to heaven. Not everybody is. Not everybody's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is yours? I should want to know that mine is, if I were you. And the second way of making sure that you have treasure in heaven is to make sure that you belong to the Lord Jesus, and Jesus belongs to you. Now, I belong to Jesus, Jesus belongs to me. We referred to it this morning. You see, because Jesus is the only person really who can invest for you in the bank of heaven. He's our representative in that far country. You see, if you were going to a far country, supposing you were going to Australia or somewhere, and you wanted to have an investment there ready for you when you got there, and there was no other way of transferring from this country to that finance, well, then you might have somebody there who could do it for you, a representative on the spot. Well, you certainly need that in heaven. If you've opened your bank account in heaven, then you need somebody to invest in it for you. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, I am going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And I would say the second way to make sure that you have treasure in heaven is to make sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is your representative in that heavenly country, and he's investing for you every day, laying up treasure, preparing a place for you. And those are the two most important things. But there are some other things. The Bible says we can lay up treasure in heaven by our giving. Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. that when you give your alms, when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Let your alms be in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's laying up treasure in heaven then, giving to the poor. Says the Bible, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Jesus said to the rich young ruler that we read about and I've spoken of, give all your money to the poor and you shall have treasure in heaven. But he wasn't interested in having treasure in heaven. He wanted to keep his treasure down here on earth. He got his priorities wrong. But if you give to those who are in need, that's another way of laying up treasure in heaven. The Bible says that sharing with your Christian brethren is another way of laying up treasure in heaven. We read about the early church, that when they became Christians, they became members one of another, and they came into the family of God. And now they looked at other members of the family and they said, who's in need? It's wrong for one of us to have a lot and somebody to have nothing. We're going to share and share alike. And it says that those who had anything, houses or land or anything like that, sold them and distributed to those who had need, so that they had all things common. And you'd be surprised how hard some of us have tried to say, well, that doesn't of course apply to us anymore. I think we want to be very careful before we start explaining away scriptures, that we're not perhaps laying up treasures upon earth instead of laying up treasures in heaven. And I think some of us need to have a bit of a conscience if we've got money stashed away in the bank, and treasures and jewels and shares, and our missionaries upon the mission field are in need, and a girl working in Africa is having a great struggle to get a few pounds to buy a car, and we're looking at the stock market every day to see whether our shares have risen or fallen and all the rest of it, I think we need to search our hearts before the Lord. Some of us evangelicals, as I've said to you many times from this pulpit, I shall say it again, we're very good at pointing to the modernists because they pick and choose what they will have from the Bible. They believe that and reject the other, but we can be guilty of just the very same thing. We say we believe all the Bible, it's just that we only obey certain bits, and we just ignore certain other bits. I believe we need to be very careful about that. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In the Acts of the Apostles it says, to any who had need, those who had something gave. And if you've given sacrificially, do you think you'll want for anything? No. Our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And of gold in every mine. And if you give to those who are in need, your brothers and your sisters in Christ who are serving the Lord across the world, God will honour you for it. We share what we have. And the Bible says you lay up treasure in heaven by doing good works. Some of us haven't got much money to give away, but we've got time that we can share. When I was camping in Switzerland 2 years ago, there were a couple of Americans, different ones, and they got talking to me about investment, and they didn't know whether to put their money into gold or what to do with it, or into Deutsche Marks or what. And I said, I didn't have that problem. And I was quite relieved that I hadn't. My treasure is laid up, such as it is, somewhere beyond the blue. Is yours? Or are you worrying whether to put your treasure into Deutsche Marks or Japanese yens or whatever they are, or gold or whatever? But if you haven't got any money, you've got other things, you know, time. Do you know what being a Christian is? Somebody has said, and I think this is true, being a Christian is not becoming a Christian, that's trusting Jesus and the Lord Jesus, but being a Christian and living the Christian life is doing inconvenient things for people at inconvenient times. And of course, to some of us, we'd rather give some money than do something. Here you are, have a pound, don't bother me. Oh no. And it may be that our Lord Jesus Christ challenges some of us here tonight about this treasure business and laying it up in the use of our time and doing good works. And the Lord Jesus Christ on the judgment day is going to say to some people, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you gave me hospitality. You opened your home to me. You gave me a bed for the night. You gave me food. You took me in. When it was inconvenient, you had me in. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you went to the hospital to see me. Regularly, week after week, and month after month. When I was in prison, you visited me. And they will say, when did we ever see you like that? And he will say, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me. That's laying up treasure in heaven. Every time you go to the hospital, every time you're doing an inconvenient thing at an inconvenient time, you're laying up treasure in heaven. Getting your priorities right. The Lord Jesus said that coming into a family sometimes will divide a family. And if somebody is prepared to leave father and mother for the kingdom of Christ's sake, they're laying up treasure in heaven. They're losing something, but they're gaining a lot, if it's Christ's call. He says in the Sermon on the Mount that being persecuted for righteousness' sake is laying up treasure in heaven. Not being persecuted for rudeness' sake or self-righteousness' sake, but if you're a Christian and people turn against you, boys and girls tonight at school, you're the only one in your class that's a Christian, and people laugh at you or they ridicule you, and it's tough and it's hard sometimes. Never mind. The Lord Jesus sees you. He sees what you're bearing for him. You're following in his footsteps and you're laying up treasure in heaven. He puts you another 1,000 in the bank of heaven for every stick and stone and every sneer that you hear. And we read in the Old Testament of Moses that he forsook the treasures of Egypt, counting it more treasure to suffer with the people of God. And that's what's involved in being a Christian. Prayer is laying up treasure in heaven. When you pray, fasting is laying up treasure in heaven. When you fast, or any other form of self-denial that you do under Christ's direction and for the kingdom's sake, your ministry is laying up treasure in heaven. It says in the Bible that we all have a ministry, and one day that ministry is going to be tested. And if it's done right, and if it's done in the name of Christ, and if we go on and we go on and we go on and we do it cheerfully and gladly, we're laying up treasure in heaven. The use of our talents is laying up treasure in heaven, so that we're not idling our time away and wasting our talents that God has given to us, but dedicating them to him and to his service. Be careful, therefore, of too much television, but lay up treasure in heaven. Your character is laying up treasure in heaven. You can't take your money with you to heaven, but you take yourself. And as God by his Spirit turns us more and more into a holy people, those fruits of righteousness go on into eternity. And that's laying up treasure in heaven. So here we are then. This is the challenge of the Lord Jesus, I believe, to us. Where is your heart directed? Oh, dearly beloved friends tonight, don't worship the world. Don't love the world with all its tawdry offerings, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break in and steal and take it away. I don't know if any of you did watch television on Christmas Day and you did see the film Oliver. Well, if you didn't, I did. I'll confess to that at Christmas dinner. But do you know the thing that stands out in my mind? There was a fellow in that story, Dickens' story,
called Fagin, a miserly old Jew who ran these pickpockets, and he had a little box that he kept in the fireplace, and in it was all his treasures. "Pretty things, Oliver," he said. "They're all pretty things." Oh, you did see it, didn't you? And there he had all these sparklers and everything, diamonds and rubies and all his treasures. And he used to take them out and look at them. And he said, "They're for my old age, Oliver." Wouldn't do him any good when he came to stand before his Maker. But the thing was, God took them away from him even before his old age. When he was fleeing from the police, he lost his balance on the thing across the open sewer, and into all the filth they went, and all those sparklers went away. Where is your heart directed? Are you a Fagin? Do you take it out and look at it and say, "They're for my old age, Oliver. I look at all those pretty things. That's where my affections lie, and I'm hoping to hoard up more and more and more." You may never reach an old age. And there's a Spanish proverb that says, "There's no pockets in a shroud." It's true. You can't take it with you. Lay not, gather not, hoard not. Jesus is not saying don't be a good steward. He's not saying squander your money and your possessions. He isn't saying that. He isn't saying don't be successful at business. That may well be a sign and a mark of the blessing of God. What he's saying is this: don't worship these worldly things and set your affections upon them and live for them and gather them to yourself when they ought to be used in the work of the kingdom of God. And the same is true of a church as an individual. It should be put to use, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, that's where we're going. "Saviour, if of Zion city I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name." Fading is the worldling's pleasure. All is boasted pomp and show, solid joys and lasting treasure none but Zion's children know. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.